This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Julian Ng and Wong Xiaoning. It is 7:06 in the morning, Wednesday the 23rd of October. And US stocks closed lower overnight as investors digested a torrent of corporate earnings reports and a new bill to make it easier for social media users to migrate away from industry heavyweights Facebook, Snap and Twitter to rival platforms.
As a result of this, we see that the Nasdaq has fallen 0.72%, the S&P 500 fell 0.4%, and the Dow closed at a more muted 0.15%.
Meanwhile, in Asia, shares made guarded gains yesterday amid optimism about the prospects of a US-China trade deal, while investors were somewhat unsettled that yet another vote on Brexit will still avert a hard exit for the UK. The Nikkei was closed for enthronement day. Shanghai Composite jumped 0.5%. Hang Seng edged up 0.23%. Kospi rocketed 1.16%. Singapore Straits Times climbed 0.7%. And KLCI had a pretty decent day, climbing 0.2%.
So to shed some light on global markets this morning, we have on the line with us Dodge Dorland, Chief Investment Officer at Lander Wealth Management. Thanks for joining us, Dodge. Now, it is a big week for earnings, with as many as a fifth of S&P 500 companies releasing their results. What are the big names that you'll be focusing on, and what do you think may surprise on the upside?
Good morning. Well, we're watching tomorrow. We're watching Eli Lilly, Caterpillar, watching particularly to see if Caterpillar can stay above its 200-day moving average, which would indicate or imply longer-term confidence with the company. And the 200-day moving average is slightly above it right now, but we'll see. Microsoft also is going to be important in terms of technology, and Tesla is always important from a trading point of view because it's quite volatile. On Thursday, Twitter, you were just mentioning Twitter, we're going to see if what the follow-through is or what the consequences are. Comcast, in terms of video programming, streaming, we need to see if Comcast can stay or can get above 46. Also, probably the most important one for the week yet, for the week in terms of retail, is Amazon. Can it get back above 1836? It is below. It is on most traders' short list now. It has to prove itself. So we're going to see if the earnings and the perception of the future can develop some kind of confidence in the future. Also, Intel is coming out, and again, another technology, so we're going to be watching that. Finally, on Friday, just Verizon, in terms of, again, technology, in terms of telecommunications, and it is held for its dividend, so we will want to see if the results improve the possibility of increasing dividends in the future or not.
Dodge, interesting survey by Bloomberg Intelligence that analysts are continuing to estimate a cut down in earnings for the S&P 500 companies by $1 to collective $178.4. Do you agree with the analyst pessimism?
For the short term, for now, yes. It was affected primarily by the implications of the trade war at the time. And up until recently, it looked as if there was going to be no negotiations or successful moving on to the next step. Now it appears that there could be some progress, but based on the history of this trade war, trade dispute, we need to see proof that there is going to be move forward on both sides. It has to prove itself or else it's guilty. So, yes, I think that the analyst, the downgrade is important because it's the perception. And now we have to see if the trade war, which is the primary cause of this, can turn more positive and indicate perhaps, even though it may have hurt the prior quarter, if the future looks more positive.
And Dodge, since we are on the topic of the US-China trade war, like you say, it seems like a deal seems to be closer. But who do you think needs this deal more badly?
China. China needs it from an economic perspective and for the Chinese people, because they are hurting in terms of revenues and in terms of what they need in order to survive. Yet at the same time, obviously from a short-term point of view, the reason why the U.S. needs it is more individual, personal, related to Trump and the fact that his re-election or the new election in next November is right around the corner. So Trump needs it, but China, the people need it more. It does not, I know that China, and I accept it, that China is longer term in orientation, yet now there seems to be a greater acceptance and understanding that China really, from the U.S. point of view, has not lived up to its past promises and has negotiated in bad faith, according to the U.S. perspective. So it's really the perception over here is that now China needs it, and the fact that they're willing to come back to the table and to negotiate over the next month to 2 months, the perception is now that because their need is increased, that there will be some kind of improvement over the future. So we will see.
And Dodge, the Federal Reserve also meets next week, but we have seen some soft macro data like weaker ISM manufacturing numbers and lower than expected average hourly earnings. But does this make a difference to the easing rate cycle decision?
It helps support the perception that the Fed is going to go through another easing this month. The fact that it has occurred has the other reaction that it may affect the stock market from a positive point of view because the expectation is that there will be an easing. So we'll see. So directly and indirectly, it does. Whether or not it increases the probability or the perceived probability, that is not so certain because the expectations now have been quite high, or quite the confidence in having the interest rate go through is much higher now. So the difference really only supports the perception that there is going to be an easing rate cycle decision.
Thank you so much, Dodge. And that was Dodge Dorland, Chief Investment Officer at Lander Wealth Management, talking to us about the Federal Reserve as well as the U.S. earnings season. Because, as we said, one-fifth of S&P 500 members are due to report their results. And so far, I mean, numbers have generally surprised to the upside. And this has apparently reassured investors that companies are still weathering the slowing growth around, and as well as the trade war. But all the same, analysts are cutting estimates for next year as the dispute between the U.S. and China continues to take a toll.
Yes, if you look at some of the earning results, right, Texas Instruments tumbled on weaker than expected forecasts for the current quarter. Lyft jumped up after executives said that the company would turn a profit by the end of 2021. And even Procter & Gamble climbed yesterday after raising the high end of its full-year sales forecast.
I think the other risky a factor that would affect earnings not only in the US and China but all over the world is what would happen to Brexit right now. Because I think the dislocation, if hard Brexit happens or even no Brexit happens, will continue to weigh down on the world, because Boris Johnson yesterday had hit the pause button on his Brexit legislation after MPs rejected his plan to get it through the Commons in 3 days.
So MPs backed his withdrawal agreement bill, but minutes later voted against the timetable, effectively leaving it in limbo. And after the vote, EU Council President Donald Tusk said that he would recommend EU leaders back an extension to the 31st of October Brexit deadline. But apparently, a number 10 source who spoke to a number 10 source said that if a delay was granted, the PM would seek an election.
And then moving on to China, citing unidentified sources, the FT actually has reported that the Chinese government is drafting a plan to replace Hong Kong's Carrie Lam with an interim chief executive, and that this successor would be installed by March. And the replacement would not necessarily stay on for the full 5-year term afterwards.
Yeah, so interesting things happening all over the world this morning. So leading candidates to succeed Lam also include Norman Chan, who's former head of the Hong Kong Monetary Authority, as well as Henry Tang, who served as the territory's financial secretary and chief secretary for the administration.
This is a CEO post that I think nobody wants to fill. It's a really tough job, right? I mean, it's like how many weeks of protest? 15, 16 weeks of protest?
Almost 6 months already.
20. Think, we're into 20
20s. And there seems to be no resolution, right? Because the protesters have hung on to the five demands, and I don't know whether any of these five demands will actually even be met.
Yeah, certainly the protesters trying to push the hand of China, and either way for China's reaction would not be seen as something that's positive. And I think Carrie Lam also tried to calm the situation a bit by throwing money at certain sectors, certain retail sectors, tourism and so on. But I doubt that this is going to calm the anger of the crowds because Hong Kong is one of the highest Gini coefficient countries in the world, right? Very unequal society. Carrie Lam also tried recently to make amends in the property sector, allowing people to borrow more. I think 8 million Hong Kong dollars. I don't think that would solve their problem because they just can't afford to buy the property.
So Hong Kong's chief executive position is rapidly starting to look like the UK premiership because they're weathering so many issues at this point that it's hats off to whoever steps up to take the job because it's quite a thankless one indeed.
Yeah, they would hope that it's like Newman's of WeWork's position because he has been given a $1.7 billion farewell gift by SoftBank to leave WeWork.
Yeah, that's the only silver lining to that job, right, for him. But right now we are heading into a few messages and then after that we'll be back with a few local stories for you. So be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.